Praise the Lord. Let somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you know you are alive and you are happy to be here, can you give a resounding hallelujah? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We thank the Almighty God for the opportunity and the privilege to come to the end of the fast period. We give Him praise, we give Him glory, and we believe that our testimonies are sure in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Let's close our eyes and pray briefly. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, eternal rock of ages, we bless your name. We thank you for the first day of this prayer conference. We ask, O God, as we hide ourselves under your grace, under your mercy, you will speak from the pulpit, you will speak from the seats, and every one of us, O God, will be so blessed in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Oh, Lord, my God. Can we stand up, please? When I am awesome
I see you start.
someone there that believes that the Lord Almighty is great, open your mouth and begin to bless his name. Open your mouth and begin to give him glory. Open your mouth and begin to say, Lord, we worship you. Open your mouth and begin to magnify and extol his name. He's the Almighty God. He's the one that changeth not. He's the Ancient of Days. Open your mouth and begin to bless his name for his greatness. We know that your presence is here with us, oh God. And because you are most welcome in our midst, oh God, you will do the things that only you can do in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Lord God, eternal rock of ages, we pray as we begin this program today, your grace will be upon us. Amen. You will season our lives with your grace. Amen. You will embellish us with your mercies. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Praise the Lord. This evening, as we commence, we will just take a message before we pray. And by special grace of the Almighty God, it's going to be a continuum. And tomorrow, I'll finish my session, God helping me. And I pray that the Lord will show us, show me, show every one of us all that He, the little that He wants us to know and to do, and his mercies will be upon us in Jesus' name. Very many of us, or very many people, did partake in this prayer and fast, this 49 days wait. But in life, people do the same things many times, but they come out more often than not with different outcomes. That is why the topic for this evening, a part of the teaching or little exhortation, it says, waiting with a difference. What did I say? I didn't hear us, please. Waiting with a difference. Praise the Lord. It's so good to know that we've just concluded a period of fast and prayers. And I believe that so much waters have gone under the bridge. For you and I, it may not be the same experience. Definitely, we all have our own several experiences. But one thing I know I take time a lot, so it's better I just go straight without digressing. Praise the Lord. I've always been a time taker. The Lord give me grace in Jesus' name. But now that that phase is over, theoretically, because we know it's never over, now that that 49 days phase is over, where do we go from here? How do we move forward? What's your perception? What's my perception? What's your plan? What's my plan? And what's God saying? Or what's God ready to do or willing to do? The topic once more is waiting with a difference. You can paraphrase it in another way, waiting that pays. Praise the Lord. Now that it's over, could it be a time for you and myself to begin to rest? It's not the main thrust of the message, but I thought it wise to just include it. Could it be a time that probably it's a time for you and I to rest? Yes. 49 whole days, we have had time, spent time in the presence of God, in our closets at home, we're praying. Is it a time to rest on our oars? Is it a time to cease from making or putting more effort? Is it a time to relax after all the exertion that we've been involved in? Some may say, the prayers that we may have made, they are somewhere up there, held up, and will give us, you know, time, a kind of store, you know, a capacitor that will store for future. So there may not be the need to do something more. Let's open our Bibles to Matthew 13, verse 25. Talking about, you know, the parable that Jesus put there. I just read it. I have it here. While men slept, what happened? Let's read it together. Matthew 13, 25. While men slept, his enemy came. Can we read it together, please? But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. That will not be my portion. It will not be your portion in Jesus' name. Let's close our eyes and say, my Father, my Father. Every enemy of my life that want to put tears in my life, that want to put a comma to the testimony you have given unto me, let them be consumed by fire. Pray for a minute. In Jesus' name. Is it a time to relax? Is it a time to, you know, to be involved in no activity at all because we have spent 49 whole days from the 11th of January until now? No, beloved. It is a time that calls for more action because while men slept, the enemy planted tares to spoil the good seed. In Amos chapter 6, verse 1, the Bible says something. It was speaking to the children of God in that place. People that know the Lord, they must have felt that things are going so well. They may have prayed like many of us have. But what does the Bible say in verse 1? It says, woe to you, woe to them. It's not any of us in the name of Jesus. As I said, it's not the main thrust of the message, but it's best we just have a look at it. Woe to you who are at ease in Zion and trust in Mount Samaria, notable persons in the chief nation, to whom the house of Israel comes. Praise the Lord. The Lord is looking for a people that will not limit themselves to just a time period of wait. He's looking for a people, a man, a woman, a boy, a girl, a student, a married man, a married woman, a worker, a career person, and homemaker that would not say, because I've spent time, quality time over the last several weeks, now it is time for relaxation. No, beloved. The Lord says, woe to such people. We know what woe means, destruction, sudden destruction and all. That will not be our portion in the name of Jesus. When we go down in that place from verse 3 to 6, I'll just take a few of them. I may not take all. Verse 3. What does it say? He said, ye that put, okay, let me read the words here. Woe to you who put far off the day of doom. Is that King James Version? I'll prefer it. Who put far off the day of doom? Who caused the seat of violence to come near? Hello? He said, woe to them who put far away the evil day. Thank you. And they caused the seat of violence to come near. Beloved, when we begin to rest on our oars, thinking that we spent quality time already, what happens? We give no time, we give no attention to what may be lying ahead. And before long, God forbid, sudden destruction, sudden catastrophe, sudden setbacks in any part, you know, phase or facet of life can occur. That is why I just want to remind us about this. What else is mentioned there in verse 4? It says, that lie, still talking about war and destruction, that lie upon the beds of ivory. You know, these days when people are ill, and you believe, it's as if they may not be able to mobilize for quite some time, you give them a kind of water bed, you know, air kind of bed, so that there will be little to no contact between their bodies and something, a surface that is hard. They don't develop pressure sores. Very comfy, very comfortable. That is what it's trying to describe there. You said, everything is comfortable with me. I have prayed. I have waited on the Lord. Yes. So what it does mean that now it is time for me to stand at ease and relax. But the Lord is saying, when you lie upon your beds of ivory, upon your air mattresses, and you stretch yourselves upon your couches, and begin to eat the lambs of the flock, you look out for the best. That's one that appears the easiest. That alone you take part in. The Lord is saying, you are not wise. But that will not be our portion in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We will stop at verse 6. In Amos chapter 6, he says something. He said, they drink their wine in bowls. Enjoyment. It's time to celebrate. That's good. God is not against enjoyment and merriment. And they anoint themselves with the chief ointments. The Bible is not against that. But this last part, I put it in red. But they are not grieved by the affliction of Joseph. Hello? My affliction of Joseph is different from you. Just take it as it's a metaphorical word in that place, not referring to Joseph in particular. My understanding or my experience of a projected affliction of Joseph can be different from yours. But the beauty of this, in this discourse, at this very moment, is that word. It's not something that is in the present. It is something that is in the future. I don't know if I'm being understood. Hello? Why? Because things have going well with them. They may have prayed like many of us have prayed. That is why I decided to bring this scripture. For us to remember that we must at every point in time, at this material time, remain on our feet. So that issues as this will not catch us unawares. Praise the Lord. After a period of fast as this, we have prayed. I now go to the positive. Can we smile a bit, please? Don't mind me. I have deeper life background. Praise the Lord. So we go to the positive. Praise the Lord. After a period of fast like this, what happens? We start, our mindset was with expectation, isn't it? Isn't it? We have a positive mindset that things are going to change for the better. We begin to feel, we begin to believe, and we begin to know as children of God that yes, I'm going to be rejuvenated in every area of my life, and so shall it be with us and for us in the name of Jesus. And what does it mean to be rejuvenated? It's a restoration to either the former state or a state that is even better than the best. Praise the Lord. The Lord will make us better than the best in our days, in our lives, in the name of Jesus. His grace will be abundant upon our lives in the name of Jesus.
To be rejuvenated means to be made fresh again. In the book of 2 Kings chapter 5, we read about Naaman. The Bible said a man was saddled, his body was riddled with leprosy. But when he dipped himself, when the man of God had stretched out his hand and told him, go to the river Jordan and wash, dip yourself 7 times. The Bible said, when he obeyed, at the 7th time, his skin was rejuvenated. Our lives will be rejuvenated in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. And in so doing, the old things have to give way. The previous things, the former things that gave us no joy, that gave us no source of enjoyment, that gave us reasons to begin to squirm, reasons to begin to, begin to gnash our teeth and all that, they will give way for the new. And the Lord has said in Isaiah chapter 43 verse 19, he says, remember ye not the former things, for behold, I will do a new thing. Praise the Lord. Waiting that pays is the kind of waiting that brings about rejuvenation, that brings a restoration. You pray and there is a restoration to your life, to my life. There's a restoration to the church. There's a restoration in the country. There's a restoration and rejuvenation in our lives generally, in our families. The Lord will do it for us in Jesus' name. What I'm trying to say here is that as a result of the prayers we have made and we're yet to make, what happened? We ought to be primed to expect the very best, or at least a change in the positive direction from the previous. As accepting mediocrity in any area of our lives, for example, should be a no-no. Praise the Lord. There must needs be expectation of our lives as individuals, families, whatever categories, for the very best. And for in capital letters, I would say this: there shall be no marriage, no association between the old and the new, because when we pray, our expectation is for a radical change in Jesus' name. To achieve this, beloved, we are going to look through the life of Prophet Elijah. We will look at Elijah and use that kind of comparison, a corollary, to see how did Elijah act in Isaiah, in the Bible, the part we look at. How did he act? What are some of those ingredients in his life that we can take a cue from that can bring about some changes in our attitude to pray, in the results that we get when we pray, so that we can have a better today and a better tomorrow? Praise the Lord. I'm going to briefly talk, I'm not reading it, about Isaiah experience from in the book of 1 Kings from 17. When we read that Bible, 1 Kings chapter 17 from verse 1, I'm not going to read it, you can pull it out, but we're not reading it. We see the story of Elijah. In the New Testament, the Bible said something, that Elijah was not different from you and myself. It said, Elijah was a man of what? Like passions. Praise the Lord. The same temptation that you faced, I face today, the man Elijah did face it. The challenges that I face today, that you face, he faced them. But he was a man with a difference. Despite the same challenges, the same passions that we did face or do face, he's a man that got the kind of results that when ears hear them, the ears begin to tingle. And the Bible tells us that whatsoever things were written aforetime, they were written for our learning. So it is a good opportunity for you and myself to learn from a man like Elijah. In 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1, the man began to pray. He was praying in his life. He looked at the people, Israel, the land, the city where he was dwelling, and the country. And it was as if, oh no, these people have gone back from God. And the man made a prayer. And he said, by my word, he confronted the leader, Ahab, the king. By my word, there shall be no rain for a space of years. Hello? Because they went a-whoring. They were not serving God, the living true God. He made that statement. But after making that statement, did the king see him again? Not at all. The last time King Ahab saw Elijah was the day he made that statement, until he saw him again at the very end, when that prayer was turned around. In that gap, that interregnum, there is something that you and I can learn from there with regards to prayers. Elijah made that prayer, and immediately, after a while, because the king was definitely, the king and his people, they began to face the consequences of that prayer. There was famine, there was lack, there was want, there was no food, there was suffering, there was dying, to the extent that the Bible did record that the king himself, not his subjects, decided he split his property, his cattle, between himself and his governor, Obadiah. And they said, you go this way, let me go this way. We will look for water for these animals. And for 3 years, Elijah separated himself from this man. First of all, in 1 Kings 17, he was there in the bush, in the brook. And God told him, stay there, I will feed you with the birds. He was feeding him, drinking water. Eventually, the water dried up. God gave him another alternative. He said, behold, there is a widow woman at Zarephath. Go there. She will feed you. We know all those miracles. She had just a morsel of bread and a little oil. But when Elisha went to her, by the mercies of God, the miraculous happened. And for the space of that time, the Bible does not really tell us exactly what happened. That little cruse of oil and the bread, it never failed. Was there answers to prayers there? Yeah, there was answers to prayers. But the king Ahab that he had encounter with at the very beginning, he has not met him. Has the famine stopped? No. After a while, that episode passed. But when it came to 1 Kings chapter 18 from verse 1, Elijah looked, he said, no. The suffering upon my people is too much. Upon the Israelites is so much. It is high time I confronted the king and let him know where things have gone wrong so that we can remedy the situation. He was eating, but the people were dying. So that brings us to where we are today, where I want to start from here. I just wanted to give us the background. So Elijah sent the governor, Obadiah, he sent him when he met him in the bush. He said, go and tell Ahab, the king, if you read 1 Kings 18 down up to before verse 15, he said, go and tell him that you have seen me and I want to see him. You know what Ahab told, you know what Obadiah told him? He said, Elijah, it's not possible. I'm not going to do that. He said, why? He said, because the fact that I've seen you now here in this forest, in this bush, doesn't mean that I can see you again, because the king has sent around the world looking for you, because you made that pronouncement that until you change the statement, until you make another declaration, there shall be no rain and suffering will remain. Ha ha. If I go tell him, what if before I come back with King Ahab, the spirit of the Almighty God has taken you to some other place? That's what Obadiah said. You know why? For 3 solid years, King Ahab, as mighty as he was, as great as he was, he could not lay his hands, despite all the resources that were with him. He couldn't lay his hands, couldn't lay his eyes. He never knew where Elijah was. Hello? Praise the Lord. But Elijah told him, he says, I tell you most assuredly, go tell the king that I'm here, I'm waiting for him here. When he comes, we're going to settle the matter today. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. When he gave him that sure word of assurance, that was when Obadiah went and met his king. He met his boss and told him, the man that you have been seeking these last 3 years, tonight, today, have found him. He said, are you sure? He said, yes. And they went there. And really, King Ahab saw who? He saw Elijah. That we say in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 15. Can we just put it up if it's there? Okay, it's off now. Okay, praise the Lord. He saw Elijah in that place. He said, ah. And when he saw Elijah, now I begin part of what I want us to try to get. When he saw Elijah, he looked at him. He said, is this you, you troubler of Israel? As I declared to him, I've been looking for you for 3 solid years. I've not seen you. You made a declaration that except you utter the word in the name of your God, rain is not going to fall. This famine will not stop. And nothing has happened. I've not seen you. Now, people are suffering. His family is being depleted and all. You know what Elijah said? Elijah looked at him. He says, I am not the one that troubles Israel, but you and your father's house. Praise the Lord. How many of us have that boldness to confront our challenges? Hello? Hello? For 3 solid years, 3 odd years, Elijah was running from pillar to post, surviving by the grace of God. The reason why he made the declaration was because of his jealousy for God. But then the people of the Almighty God were also suffering. But the day he made up his mind, he said, no, I'm going to face this thing. The man went forward. He confronted the problem. And the problem at that point in time, you know, he met Ahab the king. He told him, and that was the beginning of the end of suffering for the Israelites. The beginning of the end of suffering for those people, for the people of God. Beloved, for all the problems, for all the challenges, for anything at all that we face, there is a time of confrontation. You must have a heart, a solid heart, that you say, no, I'm standing before you eyeball to eyeball. I look you in the face, whatever you are. Is it something you've been waiting for the last 5, 10, 15, whatever number of years? I don't care about that, and you don't have to care about that. The only thing you should care about is the very fact that what? One with God is one with majority. Hello? So long as you are with the Almighty God, you are with what? You are with majority. At that point in time, it dawned on Elijah, and that is when he went forward. And we saw it in that place. They had that confrontation. He told him, he said, you and your father's house, you are the one. He was straight. Elijah was direct. He was pinpoint. No plenty talk. You don't go into the presence of God with too much talk. Plenty talk, no. Straight to the point, beloved. Not too much talk. A lot of people go into the presence of God complaining. God doesn't listen to complaints. He doesn't listen to murmurs. If Elijah has spent time talking, discussing some other stuff, things may not have happened that fast as we progress. But he faced the demon. And it's not a demon, just an expression. He faced the stuff headlong, and before long, there was a solution. The second thing we see before we see in that place, the cue we get from Elijah, we see in verse 19a, 1 Kings 18, 19a. The Bible says, Elijah said in that place, now therefore send. He was talking to the king Ahab. He wasn't afraid. He had made up his mind that I'm allied with God. I'm in partnership with God. Now therefore send. And gather to me all Israel. Unto where? Can we read it out from our Bibles, please? Unto Mount Carmel. Hello? Mount Carmel represents, is symbolic of the presence of God. It's symbolic of the authority of God. It's symbolic of the dwelling of the Almighty God. Whenever you've got challenges, it is not a time to be to be crying. It's not a time to be murmuring. It's not a time to be looking for the next person to begin to complain to a beloved. No. It's high time that as we have begun this year on a very solid footing, we told the line of Elijah 3 years after Elijah. He told the line, he said, no, I'm not the man that was afraid of you some years, several months back. Today, call these people together. We're not going to meet here, no. We are going into the presence of God. Somebody say hallelujah. And the king, when he saw the desire, when he saw the audacity with which Elijah spoke, he gave no alternative. Is that what you say? Sir, let's go. And he moved with him. He summoned everyone, the prophets of Baal, the people of Israel, and they went together to Mount Carmel. Ultimately, they had their solution. Elijah had the solution. I need to jump there. Beloved, as a mother in the house in this year 2019, as a dad, as a student, as a young child, you don't need to wait for no one. When we are faced with whatsoever challenges, the first thing we need to do is what? Go to Mount Carmel. Visit Mount, praise the Lord. That place let us know that he took his challenges before God. He gathered everyone and they went on to Mount Carmel into the presence of God. The third thing we see in that place, verse 19, verse B, Elijah told the people and Ahab, he said, gather together all the prophets of Baal, 450, and the prophets of the other groups, 400 idol worshippers. He said, come, let's see who is God. He gathered them together. God says in Exodus 21, 22, he says what? Make no graven image before me. But they were doing some other things that God didn't sanction, worshiping idols, Baal, and all that. And that was one thing Elijah did. He gathered them together. We all know the story. I don't need to dwell on it. And ultimately, the fire of God came down. We all know the story. And the prophets of Baal, they were killed. The idol worshippers, 850 of them, they were exterminated. What point do we get from there? For any man that wants to succeed and excel in this year 2019, in the place of prayer, the Bible says in James chapter 5, the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. You must be a man, from point one, that will confront the situation. You don't shy away from it. Point two, you go to Mount Carmel. Then point three, you must eliminate everything that God abhors. We live in a generation where we say it doesn't matter. It's only my, I'm pointing at somewhere, please. Can you help me? It's only my, I can't hear us. Praise the Lord. It's only my heart. I serve God in my heart. To some extent, it may appear true. But beloved, the Lord is calling unto you, unto me, unto every one of us, that the same way Elijah had to make sure that there was an elimination of the prophets of Baal, that you and I must flee every appearance of evil. We must eschew everything that smacks of sin and iniquity. All the prophets, they were killed. All the idols, they were taken away. Psalm 66 verse 18 says something. If I regard iniquity in my heart, what happens? The Lord will not hear me. So many people today, they are in church. Today is just a foundation for tomorrow, God helping. They are in church. They pray. They pray. They keep praying. Sometimes, by the mercy of God, there are answers. Some other times, there are delays. That may not be the only reason why there seems to be no answers. But the Lord has said from his word that faileth and faileth not. If I regard iniquity in my heart, he will not hear me. In Isaiah chapter 1, verse 15, the Lord said something. He said, they spread their hands before me, appearing to be religious. But what does God say he does? He said, he turns his back against them. Hello? See, I'm using them because it is not you. It is not me in the name of Jesus. He said, when you lift up your hands, he said, I turn my back against you. That will not be our portion in the name of Jesus. We are looking at the topic that says, what? Waiting with a difference. Waiting that pays. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So that is it. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 to 9. It's somewhere we can also read that also tells us about that. Fourth thing we see here. He brought the Israelites before God. Elijah. He brought the people before God. What was his aim? To show the guys out there that Baal was not the way forward. That the groups were not the way forward. But that Jesus, God himself, is the way. He knew that. He wasn't selfish about that. He was somebody that he was not the king of Israel. He could as well have said, I'm okay with my family, as Joshua said. As for me and my house, we will do what? We will serve the Lord. He could as well have just done that and went his own way. But the guy was compassionate about the people around him. God is looking for Christians in this church, in this generation, that will not be so self-centered, thinking about themselves alone. The Bible says true religion and undefiled before God is taking care of the widows, the fatherless, and all those that are less privileged. Beloved, when last did you consider someone that does not have the opportunity that you have? We take these things with kids' clothes, a little bit of levity, but there are things that makes the difference when we go into the place and the point of prayer. That is why it says just we're giving the foundation. Praise the Lord. How compassionate are you? When you see people in need, what's your reaction? What's your reflection about them? Even if you can't help physically, do you help psychologically? Do you counsel? Do you help spiritually? Do you pray for them? Hello? Hello? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So that was Elijah. Those were some things he did. He brought the people before God. Let's bring it down. The Bible says in verse 19, still in that same place, and verse 30. It says, Elijah brought the people near to God and he built the altar that was broken. He took 12 stones representative of the tribes of Israel. In your home, is there an altar, beloved? Hello? It is expected that in your home, as a father, as a dad, as a mom, as a family, there must be an active altar. Hello? The altar in your home. I thank God that I believe we all have got altars in our home. Is he active? It's a rhetorical question. When the altar was broken in the days of Elijah, the power of God was absent in Israel. The influence of the Holy Spirit was nowhere to be found. There was famine, there was problem, there was turmoil. But Elijah picked up those 12 stones, representative of all the tribes of Israel, the people, and he rebuilt, he repaired the altar. The Lord is looking for a man here. He's looking for a woman here. He's looking for every one of us here. That we look back and say, yes, hitherto, the altar in my home has been broken. The point of family meeting where we pray and we hold our hands together and stand on behalf of our family has been, I don't want to say irreparably, has been broken for so long. But the good thing is that he's not the God that mourns like a human being. He's very willing, very accepting that if that altar can be repaired tonight, things will change for good in the name of Jesus. For years in the days of Elijah, that altar was broken. But immediately Elijah repaired that altar. By the snap of the fingers, what happened? The altar was filled with water 3-4 times and overflowing. But when Elijah called, the fire of the Lord came down and it mopped up all that water. And it proved to everyone that God is God and he's a prayer answering God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I will jump that place. So these are things we need to do. Daniel 12 verse 3 tells us that the feet of those that spread the word of God, it shines like the stars forever. For anyone that wants his prayers to be very effective, to have good results, these are things we must do. Praise the Lord. I go to the last point, which actually is my number one point. This was the only message I wanted to give today, but somehow, maybe God wanted me to talk about the others, really, because I resisted and resisted, but I just had to include it. The last thing I will talk about Elijah was that he had a mind of expectation. What did I say? He was expectant, and he walked very assiduously towards achieving that expectation. Praise the Lord. There was famine in the land from 1 Kings chapter 17, down up to that next chapter where we've been reading from since. And one thing, the major thing that brings about famine and drought is the lack of rain, no water to water the land. Now Elijah had come. The prophets of Baal had been killed. For very many of us, we can begin to rejoice. The people that have come to desecrate the altar, they've been executed. It's akin to people that may say, yeah, we have prayed. Oh, I know that the very fact that we've completed these 49 days of praying is just enough to know that God has answered our prayers. But Elijah was not that kind of person. He wasn't necessarily a fleece kind of Christian, not necessarily. But he was somebody that believed that when he comes before the presence of God, his expectation will be met. He was somebody that believed that, that prayer is a communication. Two ways. It's, how do they call it? Not motorway. How do they call it? Dual carriageway. Thank you. He was somebody that believes, and I believe it, and I want us to believe it and act it on a daily basis, that the God we serve is the God that is willing to be on the dual carriageway with you and I. More often than not, we talk to God. Does he talk to you? Hello? Do you know if I come meet Bro Ugo, I say, please, can you give me £10? I've communicated. If he just smiles and I walk away, is there an assurance that that money will come? Hello? Is there an assurance? No. He just smiled. He didn't say, yes, I'm going to give it to you. Am I assured that money will come? Praise the Lord. But if he tells me, Brother Idenigbe, tomorrow come, I will give you £20. Hello? What will happen? I will go to his house. Yes. And I will ask for the fulfillment of the promise. It boosts my faith in him, isn't it? It boosts my confidence in him. And it can spur me on to talk to someone else and say, that guy is a man of his words. Hello? If we go need something some other time because he's a man of his words, what will happen? Sister Abby, they'll be able to say, I trust this person. Praise the Lord. I know of someone, he wanted to go to Canada, so he's there now, actually. Another person borrowed money, we're all in Nigeria then, borrowed about 6 million naira just to put in his account and do some stuff when he was going to the U.S. All the money was borrowed. Hello? Just to go to the embassy. Praise the Lord. But because the other guy was so trusted, he carried the money and deposited it in the accounts of the other man. Let me call the name, my wife, Innocent. He deposited the money and put it in the account of the other man. He said, don't worry. By the time you are done with your Canadian embassy stuff, give me back the money. Hello? Trust. Confidence. The same way we need to have confidence support, you know, on our God. When we have done things, we've got results and all that. That is the kind of life that Elijah was. He was expectant of God. He was so solidly assured that the God that he said, the God he prays to, is a prayer answering God. He is not the type of Christian like me, like you, most of us, most people, that just want to hear the sound of rain. No. You know there is this song. There shall be showers of blessing. Showers of blessing we need. There shall be seasons refreshing. The Father above. Yeah, I'm missing it all. Showers of blessing. Showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling. But for the showers we plead. Who wants the mercy drops? Who wants only mercy drops? The first time I had an understanding of that song, I told myself, God, you are God. Mercy drops round us are falling at all, but for the showers we plead. That is the kind of man that Elijah was. He was not looking out for mercy drops. In fact, mercy drops is even better than many of us. Many of us stop at the level of the sound of abundance of rain. The Bible made us know that in verse 43, Elijah told his servant, he said, go out and see whether you can see the sign of rain. He told the king, rain will soon fall, take off. As he told the king like that, the king saddled his ass. He began to ride his donkey towards Jezreel. But Elijah was not satisfied. The Bible says in verse 42, immediately the king rose up to eat and to play and to saddle his ass and to go away. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 42, Elijah said, no, I'm not that kind of person. He went up to the top of Mount Carmel. Can somebody, let me read it from here. 1 Kings 18, verse 42. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. Beloved, it's high time we do things that will bring a difference in our lives. When you put your kids to bed at night, say, Samuel, good night, love you. You blow a kiss to them. It is not the same time for you as a man, as a woman, to go to bed and begin to sleep. Tap somebody sitting by you and say, no, it's not so. Say you need to make a difference from today. As the king was eating, in verse 42, as the king was eating and drinking, the Bible says Elijah went up to the top of Carmel and he cast himself down upon the earth. And he put his face in between his knees. How many of us can do that? Very uncomfortable position. He put himself in a position where it may be so discomforting for him, but it's something that will make him remember that he came to the presence of God to achieve a result. Hello? God is waiting for you and I to do things as such. Other people are enjoying merrymaking. Yeah. Merrymake yourself. But there must be that as an addendum to what you do. When they are doing that, you go to Carmel. In your home, in your house, specifically now, you must identify the top of Mount Carmel. In your home, in your house, wherever you are staying. What do I mean? You are a student, you are staying where there are other students. Maybe you're sharing somewhere together. The time that your roommate will not be there to disturb, to distract you, is the top of your Mount Carmel. You are a married man, you've got kids. The time the kids are not there to disturb you, probably when they're sleeping at night, that can be the top of your Mount Carmel. Because results are not gotten when you are not in Mount Carmel. Results and positive results are only obtained when you take yourself to the top of Mount Carmel and other people are merrymaking. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. For time's sake, I'll just try to round off. Anyway, I'm almost done. He went up to the top of Mount Carmel and he did that. And he told the servant, go up, look towards the sea. The guy went and he said, Master, I see nothing. He told him, go 7 more times. What a resolute mind. Resolute-minded person. Very dogged in his determination. He said, no, I know I'm making a prayer. I know that Brother Peter, Sister Janet, I know when they pray, they are satisfied that God has answered. But for me, I need a sign. I need a proof. I need a confirmation from you. I need to hear from you, oh God. I need to see. And the guy went 7 times. And the Bible says in verse 43, by the very 7th time when the servant came back, he said, oh Master, I see a cloud rise from the sea with a hand as of a man. And that gave him the sign that for the cloud to rise, it was about to rain. And we, I will conclude here. What happened in that place? Oh. What happened in that place ultimately, eventually, in verse 45? And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven became black with clouds and wind, and there was great rain. The sound of abundance was there. Ahab was rejoicing. They went away. Small blessing. But this was a man that stayed put, remained till the end. The Lord wants us to be of such, to take this kind of examples. When God sees you going this extra mile, sees me doing the same thing, you know what he will do? He will say, no, this is an uncommon man. This is an uncommon woman. And because of that, I'm going to bless him or her in an uncommon way. And the first thing that God did to Elijah in that place was the very last verse. He said, no, rain is about falling. You made sure, you stayed back to ensure that your people got rain and their famine, they're liberated from it. He said, you know what? No, I'm not going to allow you to suffer. The Bible made us to know in the last verse in that chapter, chapter 18, that as Ahab was saddling his ass, running with the best of horses, the Bible said, and the hand of the Lord was upon Elijah, and he girded up his loins, and he ran with his feet, but he ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Somebody using aeroplane, using machines and all that, with another person using ordinary leg, because he so prayed, and God so saw the way he prayed that brings result. God said, no, I'm not going to allow this young man, this man suffer. I will help him through. And that is how the Lord will give us the kind of mind-boggling testimonies in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Beloved, I encourage us that we'll be the uncommon man. We ply the trade of Elijah. We follow the trend of Elijah. And we give all these sort of testimonies in Jesus' name. Can we rise up as we take one or two prayer points? We're going to say, oh Lord my God, from today, help me, Lord, to begin to pray like Elijah. Open your mouth and pray. I will pray with expectation.